Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we can keep in touch like they did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago.
It kind of
could
be
a breakup
song.
You just throw out a me and you girl.
Yeah,
me and you girl. I'm be writing you from jail every day.
It's only the moment it became a breakup song that I realized, like, it is a little bit of an ultimatum. Like, if you want to be my friend, you have to go get a pen.
You better go and get a pen if you want to be my friend. Yeah. Also, I was just, you made me think of that monologue. And do you guys remember the song, End of the Road by Boyz II Men?
Yeah,
and that monologue where he goes, baby, I knew about all those other guys.
Absolutely.
I just didn't care. Just come back to me, baby.
Is that what he said? Back. I don't remember that line.
Yes,
was that what
yes.
I know about those other guys.
Isn't
just
that
didn't
so
care.
Mature?
Just come back
to me, baby. Just come back to me.
You gotta look. You gotta look at yourself.
And then they come up with that. So we
just
come.
Found a new group. You're in a hit group.
Yeah.
You're on top of the world.
Well, he ended up getting kicked out.
No, he
that guy.
He became super Christian.
Oh, that's what happened?
You became super Christian, and there's a weird thing. You become super Christian, you can't talk about sex no more. But there's like, that's weird. There's like a weird thing with
that's
super
what
famous
they
people.
Sing about. So, wait, that's how I learned about sex.
Do you think he still owns part of the band, so he gets some of that Vegas residency money?
Own in a pop group?
Yeah,
right. I know. That's what I'm saying. So he's out.
Yeah.
That was my fear.
He has Jesus. And let me tell you, the Jesus market is heavy. You can make, make the Christian comics.
Kirk Franklin's. I mean, that's 30,000 people when he wants to go out and do it.
Every week.
Yeah.
They're like,
every week.
It's Tuesday. Yeah. I'm ready for our next fix.
Right.
You're like, what?
They buy a ticket and they tithe.
Sing the same song again, the same way.
Open and close with the same song.
Someone had a question.
Yeah. Mace did that, right? Didn't Mace go Christian?
Mace went Christian.
But he came back for a minute.
He came back, had a good song.
I think either the guitarist or the bass player from Korn did the same thing.
Really?
You guys remember Korn.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I've ever heard a Korn song.
Two of the best.
You've
rock.
Heard a Korn song before,
yes,
but I didn't know it then. I didn't know. I was listening. No, I wasn't like, let's put on Korn.
Yeah, I will unashamedly say they had the two best music videos of
they
the late 90s.
Oh, I'm thinking there is.
But that
one
album,
I knew.
Follow the Leader, was pretty good. It had some hits on it.
Now you go back. You still feel a little bit of something, but you're not craving it.
No,
I've never played Korn, but I remember that video. I've heard
music
it.
Videos.
I've just never.
You're anti Korn.
You're not anti. Corn. I want it on the cob.
You put it on the cob.
Nah, I feel a lot of.
That's how cheesy they get. Corn with a K
Rory,
on the cob.
Guess what? This is a long going thing.
KKK. So.
We never.
I call the fifth symbol.
We never. We have controversy. We always talk about, hey, we forget to introduce our guests, but if you have it on your phone, you see who it is, so there's no point in us saying it. Somebody wrote in with a screenshot just on ours.
unless you tap like more info, like who's on the show, it just says the name of the letter, does not say.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
so at least on the format like they were that. Using. So we do need to say who it is.
We do need, but I would like to do this intro because this is a very dear friend of mine. You've already heard his voice now, and mm-hmm. you've probably heard his voice many times. Voice. When I first started doing stand-up comedy in Washington, D.C., I started around the same time, maybe just slightly after, close to around the same time. Sometime. I don't remember.
I'd say a year before you were doing stuff in your hometown.
Yeah,
you know where you're from.
I did some spots. And I was like, I like this.
Because you had that great joke, the green joke. I still love that joke.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Sorry. That's why I had you on today. I
was like, you still do that joke?
It's the only joke I do. But one of my very dear friends, you may remember him from the show Mulaney. That was on Fox.
It was on Fox for a little bit.
And he now tours with John Mulaney. And if you live in New York City and you go to the Cellar at all, you have seen this man many, many, many times. The two of us from Washington, D.C. forever ago. Ladies and gentlemen, Seton Smith is here.
Thank you very much.
Glad you're a pen pal now.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Been a big fan. Been following y'all since day one.
Day one. Ooh. Hardcore. You never learned the theme song, but I always fast forward it. Get to the letters.
I always watch the subtitles, and then I click on. I'm like, oh, they're talking about something. That's what it is. You know what it is?
Yeah. We'll take it.
That reminded me also, though, when you said playing those venues that are 30,000 people, Seton is out there on the road playing 15,000, 20,000.
Yeah, Dallas had 11,000. And
great. Seton and I doing the same open mics at the goddamn Best Western basement bar that I don't even know that the Best Western knew that they had that bar down there.
Whose
the
show? Was it one of your shows?
It was another man, William Troxler.
Yeah, Troxler.
William Troxler had this great.
And was it a weekly?
I think it was Tuesdays. Yeah. For some reason, Tuesday
it's
jumps out at me.
A basement bar in a Best Western hotel.
And no one's down there because if the employees aren't even down there running the bar because guests don't even know it's down there. It's open mic. It's not open mic. It was booked, but like it's Seton and I telling five people to come and watch the show to even have any kind of audience.
Yeah, he brought his whole family, his whole crew.
I brought my whole family. That's the first time I met Seton. You were hosting that night.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the first time I met Seton, and I was just going up being like, I'm visiting D.C. I'm going to try to do a spot.
Wow. But
that it's crazy to think we were in the Best Western bar and now you're playing arenas of 20,000 people, which seems actually makes my palms sweat just thinking about that number of people.
It's so overwhelming. Beautiful. It's beautiful. It's weird. And then it gets real, like it's kind of like COVID where it's like, this is crazy. Then it's like new normal.
Yeah. So you've done enough times now where you're just kind of like, are you getting any kind of jitters? Are you ever going out there like, what if it doesn't work tonight? Or is it so many people it's impossible for it not to work?
Honestly, the Cellar got numbed me a lot. The Cellar used to freak me out constantly because every set you're like, Esty's going to look at it and know that I'm not good enough to
be here.
And
you're also following like a great tell.
People. Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Following everybody. And so then you get freaked out. So after leaving that, I realized I started getting like, you know, systems and built in place. Like, how do I not go crazy? How do I start to think? Hey, I'm trying to be funny about it, but not damn. No, I said pressure gets to you. So then,
right, 100%.
And then you open up for Mulaney, you know, being the best writer and comedian of our generation. So you're just like, oh shit, this is what I'm not doing. This is what I'm not doing. It's kind of one of those.
It's probably good influence. Yeah, inspiration.
Those master classes. Because I remember opening up for him back in like 2015, 16, and I didn't understand comedy enough to not know what I wasn't doing.
You need that though.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's something to late night comics who, like, when they work for a late night show and they have to write 100 jokes a day.
Yeah.
There's something about, I don't know if you like, it's like a kung fu level of like, they get to a.
It probably doesn't go away, right?
No.
It's probably a muscle that gets worked so many times that they wake up that their brain is throwing jokes at them that they're not looking for.
Right.
And so they're like, oh, man.
So to sit around a table with them. One time I was sitting with those Mulaney, Sam J, Chris Rock, and they were talking about
Jesus Christ.
I know, I forgot. Yeah, that's a different. I didn't even go on that side note yet. did you already do that with the last episode?
No, we're not even talking about that at all. I'm just saying that table.
I'm just sitting at that table.
Oh, my bad.
And they're like, let's talk about joke writing. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, they were talking. We were talking about
three masters just sitting there going, anyway. anyways. I just breathe it and the joke appears.
Right. Oh, it was heaven. We were talking about, you know, he's working on, Mulaney's working on his SNL set.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we were just talking about just little villa points and just pitching out shit. And I was like, this is fucking, this feels good. Like, I was just like, yeah, just like that kind of sharpness. It just, and you got to like get to that level of just being around them. It just makes you want to be more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you either want to just talk shit like you are the shit, or you want to be like, fuck it, I want to be the shit. It's like those two choices.
Are you influence and also just adaptive to it, being like, oh, when you're around top shelf, you start becoming top shelf. I think that's just how it, I think that's why it matters. Like, that's why people are always like big fish in a little pond. It's like, that's, you can't grow.
Can't grow.
Yeah.
You can't. Right. Yeah. Like, nobody's going to point out your flaws. Like, you didn't hear, like, every little flaw is going to be up there anyway. It's going to be talked about anyway, especially, again, when you point out the current events.
Yeah.
Will Smith, he's a great, great man, a millionaire, 100 millionaire. Still, every one of his flaws is pointed out there for him to look at and make us all go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And, you know, and so it's like one of those, oh, fuck it. If you ain't going to work on it, you got to start working on this shit.
Yeah.
So,
we won't watch Fresh Prince at our house anymore after what happened.
I hear you. I hear you.
We won't watch the
You're
reboot.
Watching it.
We won't watch the
I come
reboot.
Over to his house and turn it on. You're watching this.
He actually acts more like the reboot than the old episode. He's much more darker.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Should we do it?
Yeah.
Let's go to the letters. Dear Rory and Daniel.
Yeah.
What the hell? How about that? Nothing against
Daniel.
Didn't even
say your name.
See?
Yeah.
They did this all
wrong.
And that's just disrespectful.
That's all right.
Nothing against Daniel. Just been a big Rory fan all the way back to Dilation. And why wouldn't you be?
Why couldn't you like me when Dilation came out?
Maybe it's one of very few albums I've put out. Longtime listener, first time writer. Anyhow, I've been having trouble getting my shit together, so to speak. I'm 28, live with my mom, don't have my bachelor's degree, and don't have a stable career. What could I do to start getting it all together? I know plenty of people have similar issues amongst my generation, but it still gets to me sometimes. I know that it's not.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it bites me a little bit.
But sometimes that weed and that video game really gets me through the day. I hear you, man.
I know that it's not entirely my fault in the sense that the Big Bang occurred and everything since then.
It's not
just
his fault.
A long series of causes. Effect. That being said, I haven't seen as much growth in myself as I would have liked to see since coming of age into my young adult years, and that makes me sad.
Not as much growth as the Big Bang, nigga.
Damn,
I feel you. Yeah, Big Bang existence
and compare
downhill.
Yourself. Don't compare yourself to the Big Bang.
I can't help it.
You have to. You're a part of it. You're a part of the
Big
Bang.
Yeah, but don't compare yourself.
We're all
to
one.
It.
They got
we're
a all lot bigger done than that. Day. We're all bigger one. Than that.
All right. We're all born
at
by
times,
explosions.
It seems as if there's so much to work on that I really don't know where to start. It seems impossible to find a career without a degree where the work landscape is hourly wage restaurants or retail with little to no upward mobility. Can't seem to find a relationship because the romantic marketplace value of a late 20s man living with his parents is inherently low. College is an option because I have to be able to support myself and pay my bills, not to mention tuition costs and debt that would occur thereof. It's a shame because I massively overachieved throughout high school and community college, so I couldn't ever have foreseen having these problems 10 years ago. It all kind of melds together to create something of a societally imposed case of massive development.
Wow.
Good writing.
He has spent so much time on that. He could have spent this energy.
You're a writer.
Could have spent it on a resume, honestly.
You're a writer.
All this energy. This is some good composition.
How can I get myself on the right track? Is it okay to be this old and not have it all together? What would be some healthy ways to cope with the stress and find some avenue to experience growth throughout my situation? Sincerely, Matt.
Well, I mean, first thing you need to do, figure out who to address in the right order of a letter.
Well,
I mean, get
you
yourself
got
on track right there.
You got
there.
It right, and that's why I'll go first. Matt, you're a good writer. Anyways, we wish you well.
You're not wrong, though.
Here's what I do want to say. First off, thank you for this. And my first, like, just cutting straight to the meat of it.
Sure.
Just know there is no ever. The older you get, the more you realize there is no ever having your shit together. There is no, like, I think we think in our minds, if I just get a job, if I just get a relationship, if I just get a place, if I just get a car, if I just get a job, if I just get these clothes, if I just get these shoes, if I just get this table at this restaurant, if I just start drinking coffee at this place, none of it is, it's never an ending pursuit of having your shit together.
But is it possible to feel like you don't have any of your shit together?
I think it is possible.
In fact, my
advice would be quit trying to swallow the whole meal at one time.
There
you
got
to take little bites. You got to start with little bites. And I got to say, being able to make some money and have some income is where everybody, unfortunately, has to start. However, you are living with your mom. So if you think there's any kind of like little self-help work type shit you got to start by doing, you are in a space where maybe your mom's not asking for rent and you don't have to throw money at bills right away. Maybe work on yourself first.
I'm going to ask you, where were you born and raised?
I was born in San Diego. I was raised in about 5 or 6 different places.
Okay. So you've been around.
Name them all.
No, don't you dare.
If you want.
So give us the years.
But you eventually went from D.C. to New York, right?
Eventually, I went to D.C. to New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you got to New York,
yeah.
Didn't you feel, as we all kind of do on some level, all right, how do I get my shit together here? Like, what do I do? Like, we've all had these moments in our lives of like,
absolutely.
Kind of starting, certainly yeah, for, absolutely. As comedians, when you go to a new scene, you essentially start at zero.
Especially, yeah. Especially a scene like New York City,
right.
Where yeah. It's like, I tell people it's like the universe.
So what are the things either one of you or Seton, just you, like that you said to yourself, like, all right, here's the checklist. Like you said, don't eat the whole meal at once. Start with a piece of bread, then get yourself some mashed potatoes. Yeah, yeah, what is the checklist where you started to be able to get your shit together?
Checklist. This is beautiful. Checklist. I mean, the first time around, I don't know. The first, I got a lot of thoughts on this.
I want to hear them all.
And that's what we're here for.
Sure, guys. All right. The checklist I did absentmindedly, because I did it absentmindedly first time. The second time I did it consciously.
Really?
Absentmindedly, I got myself in a good mind state of conquer and create. So, like, that guy right there, he's really, really good. People who don't have what they want in life are really, really good at telling themselves stories of why they don't have what they have in life. And he's really wonderful. He fucking connected his failures to the Big Bang.
Yeah.
And when you get to that point, you really have spent a lot of your mind energy sitting around thinking about all the people who are against you in your life. And when you've gotten that list to that deep where he can't even get to the motherfucking Big Bang, that means that he's fucking hopeless, right? But the people who are successful in life, they are, when you ask them what they're thinking about all these friends, they're thinking about all these assets, all these things they want to like do, all these dreams, all these possibilities are about to happen, all these things. So I'm like, it's, and that connection is what creates, you know, well, how to win.
There's almost, it seems like there's almost, at least what you're saying, there's almost like a shift of perspective. Like if you are connecting it all the way down to the Big Bang Theory, that hopelessness, you have to somehow detach from that and go, and this is what I think, like minimize it to go, all right, how do we start to go up? If you can't go any lower,
isn't there an inverse of saying, like, hey, dude, so you have food, you have shelter, you have family, and you are older than your younger 20s, right? You're close to your 30s. And so you have some experience and some perspective. So it kind of sounds to me that you can do whatever you want. Rather than saying, oh, I can't do anything. No, it sounds to me like you could go do anything you want. You've got food, shelter, support, love, and perspective. So now, go do whatever you want to do.
Let me throw some positives out there.
It might come with a cost. It might come with some sweat and some tears and some fear.
Well, that's life.
But go do it.
That's everybody. That's everybody. Even people that are born into a great situation, it comes with fears and sweat and tears.
Yes.
Like it's the human experience. But some positives for Matt here. You are 28. To you, that seems like time has passed you by and you're much older. To us, who are in our 40s, how old are you? You're in your 40s?
I got 40 a couple months ago.
Yeah, we're in our 40s. Trust us when we say 28 is a very youthful age.
Rory,
trust us.
Not just trust you. The person that you guys are looking at and talking to right now, this life of who I am started when I was 28.
Yes.
28.
Great.
Is when I moved
great point.
Here.
So perspective.
I hadn't done stand up yet.
Yes.
I had never been on a podcast.
Yes.
I didn't have anything other than $72 and a Pontiac Grand Am.
You want to know how long 28 was ago? Podcast might not even have been a thing
they
when
were.
Daniel was 28.
No, they were. Tony, no, Tony Kornheiser was doing the. He was number
that's
one back
there
then.
There you go.
I was following that nigga hard.
That's a DC love.
That's a DC love.
Love me some Tony.
But I'm saying that's what 28
point,
is.
But to your point, at 28, and this is what I was kind of getting to.
Different life.
I think maybe what Matt might be lacking here, and granted, I'm going off the information, but we always say take it with a grain of salt. But you found a passion at 28, and that's what started.
Well,
the spark.
I finally like stopped being afraid.
Yes, but that passion of going, I want to be a performer. I want to do stand up. I want to do whatever.
I'm gonna go for it.
I want to act. I want to be in movies. Like, I found a passion when I randomly got on stage to try stand up comedy one time. I found my passion, and that filled in a lot of the questions of how to do these other
and
things because I wanted to do them to service and feed that passion. So Matt, maybe, and I don't know, but maybe there's a lack
comedian.
Of what is your passion.
Could be.
If you worked this hard in high school and community college, it doesn't mean that you don't have a work ethic. You have it there. The train might be a little bit off the tracks right now, And it might be because you're looking for a direction. And sometimes that direction has to come from, well, what is it that you really love? What and what want? Is it you want to create? And mm-hmm. what is it that you want to do? And how much of an effort are you making towards finding out what that thing is? And I'm not saying that's an easy question. We're lucky.
Can you say anything you want?
Yeah, can I say something? I would say that even and if you have trouble finding the thing you want, deciding the thing you want, possibly you're abused and you probably got to go to therapy because you probably your mother is telling you that you're not good enough to do anything.
Could be.
That's a thing, all right?
Yeah, or like, you're telling yourself that.
You're telling yourself that.
Or you've heard it from somewhere. Somebody put that in you.
Exactly. It's stuck in your head. You can't do nothing. There's not enough time and there's not enough money. There's lack consciousness. It affects everything.
Or someone tells you you should have done it by now.
Yeah.
That's the most ridiculous thing
bullshit
ever, because there's never a point in your life when you can't start to do the thing. There's never a point you can't go, all right, today I'm going to find the thing. I'm going to look for the thing. Maybe not find the thing, but I'm going to look for the thing. It's never too late. It's absolutely
you meet somebody 35
never too late.
Playing the trumpet, like blowing your mind playing the trumpet, right? And they're 35
busking?
Years old. And you go,
I need like weird details.
And you go, oh my God, you're amazing. Like, yeah, I've been at it for 20 years. You're like, wow, you started when you were 15. Now you meet somebody when they're 60 playing the trumpet, crushing it. And you're like, you're fucking phenomenal. I'm like, yeah, I started when I was 40. I've been doing it for 20 years.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
It's the same.
Yes.
Do you remember? And I don't, this guy might still be there. I don't know. But at where the improv is in D.C., the dude like around the corner near like the Daily Grill or whatever that restaurant is right there, who used to play the saxophone all the time. Yeah. Like you definitely would hear him when you left the improv or if you were ever heading that way towards the metro, you heard this dude playing saxophone. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
This only made me think of it. I was going through a breakup and I remember one night I was walking, I think from maybe Topaz, walking down to the Blue Line to go out to Alexandria.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I walk past him, he's playing the saxophone, and it could not be more like...
You were in a movie.
In a movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is the movie I was in. I'm just walking, I'm like, I'm sad. I'm like kind of crying, thinking about this breakup. I just did a set, I don't know what's going on. The guy stops playing saxophone, looks right at me, and he goes, who the fuck wants to be you?
Oh my.
Goes right back to playing the saxophone, and I just kept walking. No joke, out loud to myself, I go... Yeah, who does want to be me? Like, I was broken. And the fact that this guy, I don't know if he's still there, but in my years of living in D.C., this guy was such a staple of, like, that's the area he would always play the saxophone in. And it bounced off the building. I always thought it was so beautiful. Even now, after him saying that to me, I still think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
That I walked by, I've never talked to him one time. He just stops. He read the vibe like, who the fuck wants to be you? Like, goes back to play.
Wow.
That's fucked up. I bet you he thought you were looking at him pathetically, and he was probably being defensive.
I don't know.
Right.
But maybe he read a different vibe. Yeah. Maybe I was giving off something I didn't know I was giving off, or he's not good at reading the vibe.
So that, well, he's where he's at.
But in that moment, I was just like, I know. That's why she left.
Fuck, man. You know what's sometimes weird about people who are on the street, they're homeless? This is spooky shit. Where like,
also, but just to know, this guy's not homeless.
He wasn't?
No. This guy's like, this all the time doing it. I think this guy like was a normal, was like thing. He's out there working a job. Yeah. He had like a very normal, in the sense of what normal is. But right, I think, I has a job, and at night I go play saxophone.
Oh, is that that? Oh, yeah. Well, never mind.
Well, I still want to hear the spookiness. Hear what you were going to say, though.
Oh, well, it doesn't apply anymore. But, well, maybe it does. I found that, like, I don't know if you ever listened to, like, crazy people, dark people that say the darkest negative shit, but if you ever meditate and listen to your own dark voices, it seems like the really quiet, dark voice, their motherfuckers let that shit go. But it's the same language.
Yeah,
the same patterns.
Yeah,
it's
more volume.
Yes, it's more volume. It's really interesting. Yeah. I'm like, yo.
I mean, it's all in there.
It's all in there. We're all connected. Like, oh, wait, hold on.
Before we finish our response to this letter, I want to talk about the dating aspect.
Yeah.
So what do you do when you feel like you have no... like equity to bring to the dinner table and a date? Because he's saying like, I can't date anybody because nobody wants to date a guy in his late 20s who lives with their mom.
That's not true.
If there's serial killers getting pussy, nigga, come on now.
And that's exactly what I was about to
say. Thank you. Jesus. You need to look at the market. There for every piece of shit, there's a woman who likes the taste of shit out there.
Right.
That is just, that's science. That is the balance of life.
Right.
If you're gonna bring in the Big Bang, nigga, you gotta bring in the other bang.
There's also weird dudes working part time at grocery stores that date great men or women who also happen to work at that grocery store. It's just like proximity of
but
like.
But we've said this before. You're going to project the thing you think. So when you step into a bar to have a drink and you maybe are there to maybe meet somebody. Let's just say. I know that sounds like old school way of meeting somebody. But let's say it is.
Let's do
and
it.
You're walking in there going, well, no one's going to want me because I'm the guy who doesn't have a job and I don't have an education and I don't have these things. Like, everyone feels that.
Nobody
and
wants
so
to
no
on
one's
it.
Going, hey, you know what? That guy over there who looks super down on himself, he looks like a fun dude to hang out with. No one. The bartender barely wants to ask you what you want to drink. And also, to this point, I think you also are trying to bite off too much. Like, you're talking about romantic relationship. You're talking about making some money. You're talking about getting an education. You're not like finding out what job you want to do. You're talking about every single category of what it means to exist in modern-day society. You have to start simple. You've got to start simple.
I got a question, though. He's not saying everything. I kind of want to know what his health is like, you know? He didn't mention his health. How's your health, nigga?
Assuming it's good.
This probably got a positive. Why aren't you putting positives on this motherfucker list?
That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be all negative.
He's like, I jog every morning. I couldn't be. My heart, actually, I've gone to a cardiologist. I have a pristine heart.
I should do a triathlon.
I've never smoked. I don't drink.
But that speaks to what I was saying.
Couldn't be more.
You got your
spotless.
Health. You got a place to live.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like you can decide to do anything you want. And you could meet somebody who's like, what are you up to? What do you do for work? Like right now, I'm in between stuff and I'm staying with my parents. But I do also love anime. And then you're still a person with interests and conversation pieces. And
let me tell you, there are so many hot women who happen to just be executives and they feel so lonely because they don't know how to connect. They would love to be your mother figure and control you and fuck you on weekends in between their important meetings. All
just,
right?
And if that's you're not what you talking want, about a committed relationship. You're talking about just weekends hanging out.
You can have anything you want. You got to wake up in the morning and say, I have a hot, rich woman who likes to fuck me on weekends.
That's always been my dream. I think you have to. Jordan knows it. Jordan, I say it every time. I go, you know what my dream is? She's like, not again. You're hurting our marriage. I think you. Also, when you say the work landscape is hourly wage restaurants or retail with little no upward mobility, I think you're talking in absolutes. For instance, working in a restaurant, I'm not saying you're going in there going, I'm going to walk out with $1 million, but the restaurants I have worked in, that is a social setting. That is how you meet people. That is how you do make some money.
Yeah.
But you can't sit here and go, but I'm not going to make enough money. It seems to me like you are living at your mom's, so you do have a little bit of support in terms of what you need to be making, giving you the opportunity to maybe go work retail. Because you don't know if there's upward mobility available.
Right.
And also, working in a restaurant, you don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know what things are going to lead to. I think there is an element of, you can't sit here and try to predict what everything is and what it's going to be. You have to take a first step, and you can't go, but I don't like the money, I'm going to make it a restaurant. But maybe that job you decide to take in a restaurant isn't necessarily about the money. It might be the person that you meet or the person that you become that discovers your next step, be it based on how you've changed as a person. You have to interact and get involved.
Also, all restaurants, you would make a lot of money. There are ways out there who are making bank. Yes.
Yeah.
They're not even pulling their dick out for it. They're literally just being good workers.
And they would be
fired for that.
Well, it depends on the restaurant. Depends on the restaurant.
Yeah.
But also,
Hooters.
This goes back to
you would. You'd have to be fired.
I bet.
That.
Yeah.
But also, Dickies is where you pull your dick out.
You in the airport. Houston airport.
Yeah.
Austin. Hey, so here's the thing, Dallas. So you said that too, like get the job at the whatever you're talking about, the school thing. But I'm like, also like, well, if once you identify what you want, which is the thing you talked about, you might realize you don't need school for that, right?
Yes.
So our friend Jason Michael Muser, right?
Yeah.
Muse is one of the owners of one of the best restaurants in the world in Chicago ever. Okay. Mm. And if I was a person who really wanted to get in the restaurant industry, whether it was hospitality, front of house, or even being a chef, and he said, well, you can come stage here with us, which is essentially being an unpaid intern at a restaurant, go there. By the time you've done that for however long, the connections you make or the recommendations he puts in for you to go to some other restaurant and do the same thing or start as a dishwasher, you will get the education of somebody who goes to a Cordon Bleu. I'm not taking away from people who go to Cordon Bleu. That's their path.
Yeah.
But if you know exactly what you want, we say this to people when they go, I want to do stand-up. You just got to go fucking
then
do it.
Then go do it.
Was there like a class I could take?
No, you just go do it.
If you need,
sign up
if
and
you
do
need
it.
To take a class because that makes someone say every Tuesday you're going to come here with shit you've written, fine, take a class.
Whatever you need.
But really, just go do it.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
but also go do it because you might find out quickly you don't like it.
That too. You need to start crossing things off by experience and trying.
Yes.
And so if you're, you might end up realizing your thing does not even involve you going to school.
Yes.
Or a specialty school or a trade school.
Yes.
Or you might be like, you know what I really love doing? Boating. You know yes. how I can afford a boat? Because I joined the plumbers union. So now go be an apprentice, get that trade, learn how to do that, and then buy fucking five boats. Because, but it's yeah. about identifying what you want.
Or law of attraction, which really works.
It does
you.
Work.
Absolutely.
I believe, yeah. You can just sit around and dream. Or hypnotherapy, which I just enjoy. I tell everybody
really?
You do it. I love it.
I've never done it.
It's a blast, baby.
I no, think I would it. Really like it.
Have you done acupuncture?
I want to. I got, everybody else has got to do that.
He's got me. We're going to do it. I'm going to do
I
it.
Know, I you'd love
I
it.
I believe in the mind yeah,
of course,
and the
same,
connection.
Me too. Yes. Well,
I, let me tell you, actually, I also cage fight. One time, I was punched so hard that-
Wait, like, going from meditation, hypnotherapy, and also I cage fight.
Yeah, I was okay.
Hold on. You got punched so hard.
I got punched so hard. I remember I was like went in the cage, kind of like, oh, like kind of trying to get over this girl. And then I got punched so hard, I came out of the cage, I forgot about the girl. Like, I was like, whatever. Shit happens. You know, yeah. like emotionally, I got over the breakup completely.
That, yeah. that sounds unhealthy. You might got punched so hard, you might lost some memories.
Sure, probably.
But you're not no, wrong.
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Eternal Sunshine, this is the real movie.
I've had workouts where the process of working out made me emotional. Laughter yes. and sometimes tears.
Yeah.
Because the body
oh, yeah.
can go through a thing physically that somehow does an emotional release.
Cleanse.
There's yeah, an yeah. emotional connection like a motherfucker after you fight. If you fight people, like
oh,
you really don't
sure.
like. Sometimes you hate them.
And your connection to that person sometimes yeah. is so deep.
And you're turning on something else in your brain. To close on, this is my thought to close on this.
wrestle people.
Wrestle people.
Fight
get into fighting. What are we saying?
Go
fight.
To, go get to the bar.
Fight for yourself.
Discover who you are as a man.
Yeah. My yep. thoughts on this.
Or woman.
My thoughts or on woman. This in the simplest form. Everything that we've thrown out there are possibilities. Make no mistake, Matt. I'm not sitting here saying that anything we said is actually easy. Because it isn't.
No, but it anything, starts with what do I want?
Exactly. It starts with what you want. And I know it's so cheesy. Like a million, you know, journey of a million miles starts with the first step. As cheesy as that phrase is and how overused it is the truth. You do have to make a choice and make a decision. And you can't not make it because you're afraid it's the wrong one. You have to make one because that leads to the next one. Doing improv. We know if you don't say something, if you don't offer something, if you don't physically do something, then someone else who's maybe going to join the scene, who's already in the scene, they can't go anywhere. We can't go anywhere and nothing can happen until something happens.
Right.
And it's up to you. Clearly you have the desire to do it. You wrote us a letter because you're kind of hung up on it. I'm the same way. I can get very hung up and I can sit on a couch and stare at a wall because I can't get myself to go do a thing. That's what I mean when I say it's not easy, but you've written this letter because you're aware you need to do something. And I think in its simplest form, mm-hmm. go do something. Right. Just go do
like Seton,
something.
You didn't start being in these arenas doing stand-up comedy. At one point,
no, failing
at one point,
constantly.
You just moved to New York.
Yeah.
Like I didn't. I
and
didn't
we're
start,
losing money and doing it for free.
Right. And I didn't
for years.
I didn't start by like be, you know having my own show at UCB Franklin or doing this with you. At one point, all I was doing was driving away from Rochelle,
yes.
Illinois. Like
yes.
it's just the small.
Let me give one for Rory. Rory, I remember he did my little web series, and then I remember going to a movie theater to watch him with Amy Schumer. Going, I knew there was something there.
It's true, right? Also, that's a matter of like, and that's a great example. Seton does this all the time. He wants to make something, so he just does it. Mm-hmm. He's not sitting here going, "Hey, I made a web series, so that should have led to me being an Oscar-winning director." Mm-hmm. That's not what it is. He made a web
yes.
series, so he made it. And yeah. that became a thing. That led to connections. That led to, if anything, it led to knowledge of how to do it better the next time.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what life is. That's yeah. all the things. When you go, yeah, but I don't know that I really want to be a waiter in a restaurant. But what if that's the first step to owning your own restaurant and you just don't know it yet?
Right.
Because why would life be fun if you can already see past the horizon? It wouldn't be any fun.
Yeah.
If good or bad, it wouldn't be any fun.
Yep.
To not know what's beyond the horizon is what makes it worth doing. It's what makes it interesting. And also, the choices you make kind of predict and decide what might be beyond that horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to go take it all into your own hands and take that first step.
Go control your emotions. Abraham Hicks, I suggest to everybody, or even Tony Robbins also does it, but somebody could tell you to control your emotions because right now you sound like you're in emotional pain and you got to turn that shit off and start looking at joy and learn how to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, learn
Matt,
how to be joyful with the thoughts.
Man. I hope we were helpful. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Roy Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk, and
Seton Smith.
Hey there, everybody. Roy Scovel here.
And Daniel Van Kirk.
We just want to let you guys know that if you enjoy Pen Pals, our podcast that comes out every single Wednesday, then you might enjoy bonus episodes in our Patreon that come out every single Monday.
That's 4 episodes a month. It's only $5, and they are all follow-up letters, so we hear back from our Pen Pals about whatever they're going through or sandwiches that they love or whether or not they like their new haircut. We hear from them, we read their letter, and then you hear them as well.
Yep, that's it. And okay. It's at Patreon. Patreon.com/penpals. And we're back. Joined by Seton Smith, comedian, writer, actor, friend, here, director, maker of art, Seton Smith.
Thank you.
At the end of this month, we have the Come and Take It Comedy Festival. We are both doing headlining sets there.
Houston Tejas.
And we will be doing a live Pen Pals as well, guests to be announced. But if you go to comeandtakeitcomedy.com, I think it is, or danielvankirk.com, don't go to worriesgold.com. It barely exists.
It's very true.
But we'll get it up there. We'll get it there. Someday we'll get it there. There
you do guys. So much. He does so much.
That's part of his problem. So danielvankirk.com, if you want to see where you can hang with me and Rory, it's at Come and Take It Comedy Festival. Plus, this is the fifth, you said, so I am, right? The fourth? All right, awesome. Then I'm going to be this weekend. I am in Mobile, Alabama and New Orleans. Go to danielvankirk.com.
May
and
on the fourth, fourth
tonight, I'm in
you.
San Antonio. So
May
Daniel
the Van fourth be with you.
What's it's, that
that's
from?
That's today.
No.
It's from Star Trek.
What?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Star Trek.
I just won this on Google.
What about
Google.
You?
Test.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, on May. This is May 1st? May 1st.
Fourth.
This is May 4th? Get the
fourth.
Fuck out of here.
God, May time the 4th be with you.
It's so traveling so far. HBO Max, it should be this week. Is it a Tuesday, May 4th? I forgot.
Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday. Okay, this Friday on HBO Max, I think Michael Che show, that damn Che show's coming out. I should be the first sketch. It's real fun. It's a cool character I ain't gonna play. And also too, if you decide you like me, go check out Mrs. Maisel, episode 6. I have 3 lines.
I kicked
Susie out of a building. And then and then Search Party episode 6 also, which is fucking weird.
Yeah, good for you. That's like knowing weird. The episode number.
Yeah, well, because I mean, you gotta fucking. I can't just say that season and then right. get mad. That one, that's pretty fun. I'm like this. I'm like the whole episode. I'm doing the whole negotiator shit. I'm talking to out of the building.
Well, now we did talk about it. Are you still on the road at this point?
Yeah, oh, we forgot about that. Yeah. Also, I'm still. Yeah, me and Mulaney, May 4th. That's right. May 3rd, we just did the LA Forum, and then May 7th, this weekend. It's gonna be the Hollywood Bowl. So it's going to be real
fun. You're going to be doing the Hollywood Bowl in 3 days from now.
Yeah. And we're wearing, like, it's going to be a tuxedo night.
Yeah.
It's
going to be fun. Hey, we've done that. We did that before.
Yeah, I'm very
Do you not, already not have your bowl. Tuxedo picked out?
I don't, but I've walked by the store I'm going to buy it from multiple
times.
I was about to say,
if there's one thing, Daniel, I learned, don't wait till the last second. Put some thought into it. Take your time.
No, I'm thinking... I've been wanting to buy a tuxedo with roses on it for probably too long, for like 10 years. And I don't know if it's probably cool anymore, but I'm going to look at it. I'm going to try it on.
Like,
with roses on the lapel?
Yeah, like just, there was like, this, yeah, like, there was like a.
Black on black roses or bright roses?
There was a, I got to fucking look at the picture again. I'm so sorry. I remember there was a pattern of roses that was like almost like. On it, patched on it, kind of thing.
Yeah,
it was looked divine, beautiful. But I remember this might have been 2014, and I might not be cool no more.
But also maybe, and I'm just throwing out a suggestion.
What happened?
Maybe get that Steve Martin white suit.
I have been thinking about that.
Exact one.
That had been my daydream.
Exact is. You can get that same style.
That
might be pretty fucking cool.
I think I might. That's been my that Wild and Crazy Guy album.
I was about to say,
been my that album has been my dream album. And what's his name? I met I didn't meet him, but you know when Mulaney hosted SNL.
Yeah.
Steve Martin. They were just like him and Elliot Gould were in their little dressing rooms and Steve was just sitting there and I was like, it's probably not the good time to be like, what up?
Steve, I love you. He looks up. What?
Nothing.
Someone
else. You said something.
Someone else said something. Did you say you love me? I thought I heard you.
Exactly.
Well, hopefully people come out to the Forum in Hollywood Bowl. I hope
Good luck.
I hope
so. How many tickets do you have to sell to get to do time?
Oh, shit.
You still have to bark?
About 15, 15, 20.
You're barking the bowl?
I am. Barking the bowl. Oh, I love that.
That's so funny. And then next month, Physical Season 2.
Physical Season 2,
Episode 1. I'm in it.
Right around the corner. Daniel Van Kirk, Episode 1. Get out there. Watch it. Apple TV Plus. On Apple TV Plus. Physical is the name of the show. All right, let's just get to the next.
Okay, ready?
I don't like how it starts. So.
Here we go.
I'm not as excited.
Dear Daniel and Rory, sorry, Rory, I flipped a coin.
And reflip it, right?
I was on both sides. I was on both sides. They're just telling you, sorry, I flipped a coin.
It's a weird merch that you sell on the road. It's you on both sides.
You can get these mint released.
But
those people selling weird coins.
But it does work as a quarter. Like what you're selling is 100%. Highly illegal.
Yeah. I guess I'll jump right into it. I was personally close with somebody who was murdered.
Different tone than the first letter, huh? Oh.
I'm going to try to keep this intentionally vague because I wish to remain anonymous. This is now considered a cold case because it happened over 10 years ago and whoever is responsible has not been apprehended. However, I and many people I know are fairly certain they know who did it.
Barely.
I had a decent job and
so scary.
I had been doing a decent job at moving past this traumatic incident until recently when a documentary was made on this story. It turns out I am not as healed from this past trauma as I once thought.
Oh my God.
It was not the documentary being made which bothered me, although I have no intention to watch it, but the fact that it was distributed on a major streaming platform and gained pretty major press at the time of its release.
Shit, it's a Tiger King, huh?
It sucks because I now don't like browsing this particular platform because I will usually come upon this documentary and the victim's face on my screen. I now live on the other side of the country from where this occurred. However, people I know out here who do not know my connection to the family involved have recommended I watch it because they know I am a huge fan of graphic crime documentaries. At least I was until this was released. I seem to have lost my desire to watch exploitative crime shows completely, which sucks because it was one of my favorite genres. At the time of the incident, I was incredibly close with the family of the victim, but it is only recently that people want to hear what I think about the crime, and I mean literally every single person I know has asked my opinion. I think so that they can follow up with their take. I was not interviewed for the film, but many people I know personally were, and some declined due to the fact that the killer is still out there somewhere. I guess my question is this. Have either of you ever been this close to a sensational news story? As E-list celebrities, okay, not saying I am one, how do you deal with things personal to you existing in the public forum? Thanks, Anonymous.
Well, first things first, Daniel and I read this, and at first I think we were offended by Well, here's the thing. We were offended by E-list celebrities. Not that we sit here thinking we're some hot shit, but then
Why the jab?
Lissa looked it up, and that actually means that you are you heavily interact with your fan base, because if you were going to be offensive, you would have stopped at D-list. E-list actually has a meaning. We looked that up. Lissa looked it up.
Okay, but also,
why am I taking credit for research when Lissa clearly did it? And she's sitting right here going, motherfucker, I looked that up.
That
okay, but also, I could make up a word like neeple, and I'm sure we can go on Urban Dictionary and find out what neeple means. Yes, either way, what's Nepal mean? Who's ever even heard that word?
You're either saying nipple or Nepal.
And it might not matter, right? Because people will be like, actually, a neeple is a knee that looks like a nipple. Person who has a nipple on their knee.
Can I ask, when you said neeple, did you have that in mind?
No.
Did you just...
I just got there now.
That's because you took the first step, Matt. We're going back to Matt.
We're going back to Matt. So you can find anything on the internet.
Yeah. I think that's true. I don't think Anonymous
Has
wrote
E-list
us to
celebrities?
Try to...
Can I ask, can I ask you a question?
You landed with you. Were like, ooh, E-list celebrities.
I heard it. It just makes me think that she's the murderer.
Anonymous? Oh,
yeah, obviously the murderer. The fact that she would throw that
Anonymous
jab.
Anonymous is not going to like that.
Multiple jabs for no reason, and is almost bragging. Like, I don't know. I barely know.
I'm misconnecting them. Like, that's why he plays arenas. Yeah. He spots these
things.
That's
the same thing. I'm telling you, she's like, I'm fairly certain who the person did it. Everybody keeps asking me these questions. I live in another part of the country.
That's why you're in Maisel.
Celebrities, by the way. I'm just telling you, this motherfucker's suspicious.
If it was a jab.
I don't think it was a jab.
I think it's a good time for us to highlight.
Oh, yeah. This is a great point. Yeah.
It is a good time for us to highlight is like, you and I are never the type of people who are like, you know that guy who's always mean? Love him.
Let's get that letter out there.
Even in our real lives. We do rib each other, obviously, right?
Sure.
But that's earned with a lot of love.
But also you have a personal relationship.
So whenever we've had people write us letters where they're like,
they
all right, you two fucking idiots. And they're like, yeah, that's not.
We're not going to read that letter.
Daniel, you're the grass. Rory,
Fuck
Rory. It'd be a cool show if you weren't on it. Just kidding. And I'm like, still.
Well, that's a Tony. I mean, because I've listened to so many letters.
Sting goes, that's my letter.
That's a Tony Kornheiser. Oh, that, yeah, it was my letter. I keep going.
Kornheiser does what?
Kornheiser has that thing where they, like, people do pick up their own words and like they like to shit. They like to join the game of shitting on people. It's like a thing of the friendly. But yeah, you're right. Yeah. So you got to start.
But some people, I think, right from such a place of insecurity, they're like, well, I can't get into this and open up unless I let you know that I'll throw a jab.
Yeah.
Like, they almost feel so vulnerable. They're like, I don't want you to know I'm super vulnerable.
Yeah.
But again, I want to state. And we can be in different positions on this.
Of course we can.
I don't think that it is a jab, and that's why I that was willing to go ahead with it.
Okay.
Because when Lissa looked up and she said, that is actually a term, I go, you know what? That's not a term everybody knows, but maybe it's a term that we've now put out
also,
there a little bit
I'm
more.
I'm thinking, though, if you have the mentality to get away with murder, you have the mentality to get away with an insult without being seen.
I
love that mine and Rory's ego is so strong that we're like, I bet I can find a way to say that this was actually a compliment towards me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to protect myself. I am too vulnerable. I'm too insecure. Oh. Scene's over here like, guys, we know who did it.
Yeah, we know who did it. We know who did it. She's written a letter of a confession. So many innuendos. The goddamn code. The fucking Da Vinci code right in front of you.
I have a serious thing I want to say about
this. I do too. You go ahead.
Okay.
You start.
It does make you think. You know, we see things that are sensationalized, right? And documentaries that are made and stuff about people. And I had this happen. This thought occurred to me when I was watching the amazing ESPN documentary about O.J. Simpson.
Oh, the four or five part.
Right? And there's a part.
Incredible.
There's a part.
Always comes
where
to
they're
OJ.
Talking
always
about.
Always comes back to O.J.
Always
where they're
OJ.
Talking about the murders, right? And please forgive me if I'm saying it wrong. It's Rob Goldman, right?
Is Ron.
It? Ron. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. Ron. So Ron
not
Goldman,
okay.
I want to be respectful. Well, I ask for grace. Ron, there's a part. And this is going to be a little graphic, but there's a part where they say, essentially at that point, in the way in which he had been cut first and where he was in this four-year, like, gate area,
the gate outside.
He was in a killing cage, right? And then they talk about what happened.
Nicole.
To Nicole. There was a part while I was watching that where I was going, God forbid Nicole's children watch this documentary.
I know.
Because these are real people and real family members and real loved ones.
Yeah.
And if you were like, you know what? It seems to me that they're probably going to, I was a child and they're going to lay this out so fucking boom, 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 every step.
Yeah.
I do kind of want to know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And then if you got to that point as a person, not even just child, but definitely child was in my mind, a loved person of Nicole and Ron's, you were like, I can't.
I know.
And so it does. There are all those things that we sensationalize or our society like glorifies or sheds a light on. And a lot of times, even when they're hard truths, they need to be.
Yeah.
Like I've told a lot of people, one of the hardest things I watched was the series When They See Us.
Yeah.
Right? And I say to people like, Jarrell Jerome's performance in When They See Us is one of the most jarring things I've ever seen. It is immaculate in its production of what he did as a character.
Yeah.
But you need to see it. And that's a real person in a real person's life and somebody like exemplifying that.
Yeah.
But in this, when it's also like a documentary, it does come down to being like, that's somebody's mom or brother or whatever. And
we're so desensitized because that you go onto a streaming platform and you go, oh, well, here are 400 unsolved murder documentaries that you move away from, you know, the fact that these are real people. And it slides into this is entertainment, even though it's absolutely real. So
I've never been entertained by that shit ever in my life. I don't like anything scary. I hate I like cartoon guns. I don't know when I started hating guns on movies. I don't know when that started. My first gun
like a natural trigger. No pun intended.
No, it's a good. No,
trigger.
I think the pun was fucking.
Good pun.
I think it was.
You
think it was intended.
I think you intended it. I think you did intend it.
Yeah, maybe I did.
No, but okay. So wait, even in cartoons.
No, I think I fucks with cartoons a little bit.
Okay,
but I just didn't see the sense of it. My first gun in my face was at 4. When I realized that, like, that's always my jarring. Like, I don't really know if I love it. Like, I don't see the. I think there was a point where I did see fun. But then I just stopped at one point. I was like, I don't see the point of this violent shit. But also, once I started fighting, now I started really seeing how delicate human bodies are. They're strong, but then they're really delicate. And you go like, oh, fuck, I can't.
Oh, when I see a movie and someone takes two punches, like they're kind of like out of it, and somebody twice the face, right? Yeah. And then the next scene, maybe they've got like some redness. Yeah, I'm like, no, you don't have an ocular bone anymore. Yeah.
Like, or I see like fucking like I'll appreciate a movie's fight scenes, and then I'll not appreciate it. Like two things have happened. One, I watched, like I saw Batman.
Yeah.
And I really was kind of annoyed by Catwoman's. I didn't mind that. I didn't just like her Catwoman's moves. I was just like, her size frame and those moves doesn't make sense. Like shit like that bothers me. I'm like, she wouldn't do a sweep kick.
This choreography.
No, he should go for the balls, obviously, in the eye, and then go for a sweep.
And obviously, it's Colin Farrell. Yeah. It's obviously Colin Farrell. The weirdest nitpicky stuff.
But wait, did you have one where you were like, this is like? Really
good? I can watch Jackie Chan movies, and now I realize he has a lot more jokes in the fighting that I didn't notice before.
Oh, wow.
As a comedian, there's a punch. I saw Drunken Master and I didn't realize like those fight scenes were not just fun. Just not like, yeah, like they had like
visual
had,
jokes.
Yeah, like 7 or 8 punchlines per. I was like, oh shit. I don't know.
If you don't mind, I don't want to skip over this. You're saying at the first time your first memory of it happening to you, at 4 years old, you had a gun put in your
face.
Oh,
yeah, it's like that. Yeah, it's fun.
And so when you see somebody like pull out a gun or whatever, you're like, yeah, this doesn't. No, I don't.
Well, it's traumatizing.
It's about the letter, like something hitting close to home.
Yeah, I don't get traumatized. I just want to see it on TV, just because it's like I've seen cops at houses. I've seen the energy to me is like not like, ooh, I wonder what's got blacks. I'm like, oh shit, like cops are here. I don't want to be here no more. Oh yeah, the guy who put his gun in my face was a cop. That's what it is. So I was like, I'm always like, I don't like this energy. I don't fucks with the.
Yeah,
it took me a while to figure out. I don't really fucks with like. I like cop shows because it's a very simple directive.
Yeah, the procedural of it.
But I like it like again.
Well, there's a pattern and it's like a formula.
Go back to Batman. Like I was watching it and you could see like how many movies they took, but the very first scene, it was Fruitvale Station. And I didn't like that shit because specifically saved the black guy, made him look good and went, I'm not going to beat you. I got some other shit to do. You're better than them? No, you're not, nigga. you just walk around beating people, nigga. You ain't better. Batman. I still like the Nolan movies.
I want to go see Batman with you. Like, God, we're seeing something so different.
Yeah, I could talk so much shit. There was a part in there where she was like, "Man, these fucking white motherfuckers coming in." She was like, "She's talking to a white guy."
At the club.
Yeah, what are you doing? Yeah. What is the white? The wokeness coming this movie? This is the most unwoke nigga in the fuck. This nigga goes around beating people. He's not woke. He's the most unwoke nigga. I'm so bothered.
But
I love him. I like the nigga, but.
Yeah. But it's in line with this. We were like, hey, if it hits close enough to you, you're like, I'm out. I can't. I don't want this.
Yeah, Spider-Man made much more sense to me as a fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be Spider-Man. I wanted to flip out and have a hard dick. The only thing.
Wait, what?
Hard dick? Like, think about it. You're horny as fuck at that time. Yeah. And then you could flip around. I actually don't believe he didn't. Why they didn't have like a hard dick, like costume
while flipping
moment.
Around.
Well, because it just seems like you get that excited. Yeah. You're like, I'm flipping. I'm Spider-Man.
Disney tends to hide their hard dicks, like in Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I don't
and
know
stuff
the,
like that.
Yeah,
they
I
do
bet
hide the dicks, don't they?
they don't put them out there that much.
Yeah. And just be like, I think Spider-Man has an erection right now.
How's he gonna kiss a girl upside down
and not have an erection? How is that possible?
That costume ain't that expensive to hold an erection back.
Physically impossible. Yeah.
Green Goblin was
just
like,
just the way he's being rubbed with that whatever that material is.
Can I ask you guys a question? Am I a bad person that I want to figure out what documentary this is?
I know. Of course. I think all our listeners, myself included, are like, which one is
it's
it?
One that everybody was talking
American
about.
American
on a
streaming
platform. Take yourself out of it. Step back and just go, you know, you have a friend who was, first off, you have a friend who was murdered.
Personally
that alone is its own thing. But now there's a documentary out there and somebody goes, you can watch it. And this person, anonymous, now lives in a different part of the country where this documentary is brought up as a point of entertainment. Have you seen it? What did you think about it? And then someone and him having to like absorb that and be like, I was friends with
have
that person's murder. Like, that seems
life
so
murdered?
Wildly traumatic. What's that?
Have you had anyone in your life murdered?
I don't think. I feel like I would. I feel like I don't remember stuff. But that seems such a giant
thing.
Yes.
You have?
Yes, you people. Yeah, people. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I never have. So I also, it's like I don't understand like what that violation or like that loss.
Or what that feels like.
What that feels like.
Yeah.
To be like, they're gone and that's not.
I do know of someone that was brutally murdered and it's even thinking about it as someone like know of someone, like not even this very deeply personal connection, is still wildly shocking from the distance that I am from it. It's still so shocking.
I had a weirdly, okay, another situation. Someone went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., 2000. It was still in the murder top five murder capital at that point. Remember our orientation and our dorm was like, we right now, if you walk on the street right there, Hobart, you will be robbed and or shot. Do not walk on that street. Really? 2 blocks from that street, that you will be robbed or shot on that street. And I was like, I believed them. And then like multiple motherfuckers from my class got robbed and or shot.
Oh my God.
Or killed. And I was like, oh, okay, well, they weren't fucking around.
Yeah,
I'm like, I got robbed too. I forget.
Really?
That was another time I had a gun in my face. I was like, oh. And by then, I was just almost numb. Like, I was giggling, like, come on, guys.
I got to do a spot.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be at the
it's
Best
like that
Western.
Scene from LA Story with Steve Martin, where he goes, hi, my name's Bob. I'll be your mugger for the evening. I'm like, hi, Bob. And they give him the stuff. And like,
he got that chill. I'm telling you, I didn't realize that. That's what helps you. If you ever get a gun in your face, guys, try to have good energy. Not like annoying, jovial, but the nervous energy, they'll feel it, and then they want to turn that shit off. But if you put it in cool, easy, if you can figure out a way, smile, you'll live longer. Let's talk about scandals.
Okay.
Can we do it? Because I want to talk about being somewhat connected, because I'm like, again, we brought up Chris Rock earlier in the other segment, and I've known him for years. I got to do, I was a stand-in on Top 5.
So
I spent like 35 days on that shit, so I got to
love
know him.
Movie.
Known him over the years. He's been coming around with Mulaney throwing punchlines, so it's been interesting. And then Will Smith, I got a connection to him, interesting enough. Not hard at all, but 2014, Afro Punk Festival, about 40,000 people in Brooklyn doing, you know, black rock bands.
Yeah.
Jada Pinkett Smith, she has a rock punk rock band. She was performing.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Exactly. So they flew in a helicopter.
Yep.
The whole family came out with a, you know, security guard. And it was interesting, the energy. Will Smith came out like a fucking mayor. You want an autograph? You want an autograph? You want an autograph? And then Willow, his daughter, was going out dancing, meeting girls. It was great. But then Jada and Jaden, they went into the tent because they're both the introverts.
Yeah.
And I'm the host, but I got to get her introduction. And she's the only one. So I walk over to the tent like, hey, there's no door to knock. I'm like, excuse me, hey. What do you think I should say for the band? And she's being nice. And, I don't know. Da, 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 da. And then 1 second later, security is on this side, right? Another second, half a second, Will Smith is right next to security, but like looking even harder at the security, like, I'm going to fuck your ass up.
I'm
like, Will Smith won't fuck me up.
Because they didn't know why you
were
there.
So the mayor, who wants an autograph,
what's up, God?
Is all of a sudden
suddenly like, I will fuck your ass. So who the fuck were? I'm like, oh yeah, man, I just want to like, you know, introduction. He's like, Oh, it was like that. I was like, was he about to fuck me up? Like, I was sitting there, okay, no, Will Smith was not about to fuck me up. And now
are you cage fighting at this time? Like, would this have been exciting to see?
No, then I was not fighting, so I would have been
scared.
Could
you imagine if he's like, he does like step up, you're like, I'm just getting an introduction, and he like does something, and you're like, I have cage fighting experience.
He's got that Ali experience.
Oh,
he's huge.
Yeah, now I'm getting excited like by that energy. Like,
yeah, you would be.
The thing is, they don't do that.
I've done a little bit of jiu-jitsu, and I don't know anything about jiu-jitsu, but it does. You would be excited because I know it. I've felt it where you go, this person doesn't know that I know something.
No, there's an energy, though. When you know how to fight, there's an energy when motherfuckers have. So if you approach them, you know immediately if I approach you.
It's important to read that vibe.
Yeah. Will Smith knew immediately that nigga was like, he was not gonna swing on me.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's motherfuckers, your body tells you shit, sometimes your brain don't know.
That's why
if you see boxers backing up, and like, I didn't mean to back up. It's like, your body was like, no, I won't get hit.
So that change in the telecast, that change of him laughing to all of a sudden sitting there, you've seen that firsthand.
Oh yeah, I saw the move, you saw the energy, like, oh, all the body language make complete sense, and also Chris Rock not knowing, and then you didn't see Will Smith. If you look at that, his rotation on his hips was perfect. It's perfect rotation. He had a good stance. It was not, he's trained. The nigga's trained. That's why I was even more like, you can't fuck, why are you bullying nigga? Like, it was like, you know what you're doing.
Don't you kind of wish Jason Momoa had made that joke? Just to see if Will gets out of his seat. Just to see if Will even gets up.
What happens?
If Momoa's up there, you think Will Smith goes up to that stage with Jason Momoa?
Everybody knows that it wouldn't have happened.
Do you?
I don't know.
It wouldn't have happened. It would have been more of a yelling match. No, exactly. That's the thing. I'm telling you, I did not know when
that's
started.
That's not a slide on Chris. That's a slide on Will.
That's an animal thing. Once I started fighting, I remarkably saw the difference. Like, there's a difference I saw when I started being funny, that people started treating me differently. When I started getting on TV, people started treating me differently.
Yeah,
when
I started
learning how to fight, nigga, that is a completely different.
And it's not you saying, I know how to fight. It's people just going, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
Like, you can read somebody.
There's a certain respect suddenly that people start having. Like, I didn't even know.
Also how people compose themselves. I'll tell you what blows my mind is when someone kind of doesn't know how to fight, but they still have this, like, they don't seem, here's a mistake I think a lot of people make. They don't know how to fight, but they have a cocky arrogance. And you go, you're cocky, and I bet you don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But then there's some people who just have a smooth confidence who also know how to fight, and you're like, yeah, you're doing it best. Like, you've got something that's throwing people off. Like, you're throwing
You know what it always makes me think of? That scene in Tombstone
when Kurt Russell's yelling at the bully in that bar. They first get into town, and nobody goes to that bar because that guy's always there drunk picking on the dealers and stuff. And he smacks the guy, and he stands there looking at him, and he goes, "You going to pull that smoke wagon or not?" And and the guy just stands because he knows he's just a cocky guy who isn't going to back anything up. But he takes his gun out of his own holster. Oh, I just knocked over water. That's okay. Right. He just takes his gun out of his own holster, like his own gun.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're BS, man.
It's so fun to see these moments. I've been seeing women beat up men, and I love seeing that shit because it's just like these men come in so cocky and so mean. Yeah. And the woman goes, "What, nigga?"
They're reading gender where they're like, "Well, there's no way you know." And it's like, that's not the time we live in anymore. People know stuff. People are the education in all aspects of survival are available to everybody.
All available.
It's wonderful life.
Anonymous. Yeah.
Turn yourself in.
Traumatic. You're in a traumatic space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Turn yourself in because you're guilty. And Seton. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's still a good joke.
Our friend's a detective. Seton's a detective.
I feel for you for that. Like, I wish there was a way you could like reach out to that platform and go, "Hey, is there any way you could just change it so that I don't ever see this? Could I have a block of a thing or something like that?" And I imagine with our way that crime and everything has become such a big part of our pop culture, like true crime and all those things, that's happening to a lot of people. So I feel for you, and I'm sorry that you kind of feel like it's all turned up again. But
I'm joking. Don't murder me. I don't want to be murdered.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
What's a murder? What's a murder between people?
So nervous.
Well, take it from us, E-list celebrities.
Yeah.
We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Scoville,
Rory Van Kirk, and
Seton Smith.
Pen Pals is produced by Lissa Rubin and engineered and mixed by Chad Bouchard. Our artwork was created by Jeffrey Tice, and our theme music is by Patrick Keenan of The Winter Sounds.
You can follow Pen Pals on Twitter and Instagram at The Pen Pals Pod. You can see all of that content thanks to Caitlin Bordini, who runs our social media.
Head to youtube.com/Daniel Van Kirk Comedy to watch these episodes absolutely free, and subscribe to patreon.com/Pen Pals for only $5. You can listen to a follow-up letter every week, and you'll be the first to hear all upcoming Pen Pals news.
But the easiest way to support the show is to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell everyone you know about your two favorite cackling idiots. Hashtag grow the show.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, "Oh, what's your best way of making money?" I'm like, "Oh, we should start some sort of scheme."
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.